going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141. 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It's been called The Change, or Your Own Personal Summer. And despite the nicknames, menopause is something most women of a certain age find unpleasant. And sometimes the symptoms are mild, but for some, it's intolerable. Well, during our Medical Monday conversation, we're asking, what is menopause and what can women do to ease this very natural process? Joining me to talk about this is Dr. Sharon Malone, OBGYN and Medical Director for Alloy Women's Health. Lines are open. If you have a comment or if you have a question about it, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR. Or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Malone, thank you so much for talking to us about this really important issue.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Sure, certainly. I've already been getting a couple of text messages. Let me quote one, menopause is the devil. so that's what I'm hearing, and unfortunately that may be a physical manifestation of heat, because a lot of women really experience those so-called hot flashes. But let's start at the beginning. What is menopause? Why does it happen?
Well, you know, menopause is just that time of life, and it's actually, and it's an entire phase. It's not just an event. It's that time of life that signals the end of a woman's reproductive years. For the average woman, that happens somewhere around 51 and a half to 52 years of age. The most seminal event is that the period stops. You know, your ability to conceive a child goes down, but more importantly, it is the hormonal challenge, the hormonal changes that happen with menopause that really are responsible for most of the symptoms that women sort of associate with menopause, such as hot flashes, mood swings, sleeplessness, vaginal dryness, and I could go on and on. But it is really sort of that signal event. Happens around 51, no longer able to get pregnant, no longer having periods, but then it ushers in a whole other set of issues for women for the last third of their lives. And that's something I think women don't really realize, is that menopause, you will be menopausal from 51 until the day you close your eyes. And menopause is not an optional activity. You know, for half of the population, you will go through menopause. If you are born with ovaries, you will get to this point in life where you too may experience these symptoms. And I think for far too long, we've ignored 50% of the population. We've sort of not prepared women for what is to come. And I think that is the travesty there, is that most women sort of enter this phase of life that they will spend the next 30 to 40 years in, and they're woefully unprepared, not only about what's coming, but what to do about it.
Well, hold on for a second, because I was under the impression that this was, and maybe it's a terminology thing, but I was under the impression that, you know, you kind of go through menopause and yes, it, you know, it stops your menstrual cycle, it stops her ability to conceive, but then the actual menopause process ends, but your ability to conceive doesn't pick back up. I help me with that, because I thought this was just something that kind of happened over the course of a year or two, or maybe even three, and then, okay, well, I'm wrong there.
No, you ask any woman how long this takes, and my goodness, it can go on for as long as a decade. But let me sort of back up a little bit, because, as I said, menopause starts when you have had your last period and beyond. So every point there, you know, after that, you are menopausal. But before you get to be menopausal, so before you're 51 years old and you've had your last period, most women will start to have what is called the perimenopause or the menopause transition. And that can start as early as the early 40s and will go straight through until women have had their last period. So it's actually should really be thought of as different phases in a woman's reproductive life. If you think about it, from about 40 to 50, fertility changes, periods start to change, even though they may not have gone away. And women may have any one of the 34 symptoms associated with menopause, you know, hot flashes, mood swings, brain fog, sleeplessness, I mean, irritability, depression, anxiety, palpitations. I mean, the list goes on. But that process, and I think that's what is confusing to a lot of people, is they think that menopause is something that's going to happen over a few months or maybe a year, and then when it's done, it's done. No, the process leading up to that last period can take as long for 10 years as 10 years. And this is something that's particularly important for Black women, for women of color. We tend to enter that menopausal transition or perimenopause earlier. It lasts longer, and the symptoms are more severe. So we're not talking about, you know, oh, let's just wait for 6 months or so and this will be over. This is something that happens over years to sometimes even a decade.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. And we're talking about menopause. What is it? What are the symptoms? What does it do to a woman's body? If you have any comments, if you have any questions, give us a call. Dr. Malone, I do not in any way, shape, or form need to make light of this, but I got to tell you, my sister friends are blowing up my phone right now.
No, it's a thing.
It is a thing. One of my friends, she says, I'm going to need this to start. She said the period shifts are so disrespectful.
Yes.
What is a period shift? What is she referring to?
Well, your periods get irregular. And I told you in that, if I told you, remember, menopause and beyond means no more periods.
Mm-hmm.
But before you get to that point, which is that transition, it is almost sort of characterized by changes in your menstrual cycle. Your periods can come too soon. They can last too long. They, you know, you can go 2 or 3 months, not have one, and bam, it's back again. So it is really, and that sort of maybe where that terminology came from, the change,
mm-hmm.
because things start changing. And the most obvious manifestation of that for women in their 40s is really those changes in their menstrual cycles. You know, I mean, you can have periods where you're sitting at your desk at work and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, flooding will start and you will bleed through your clothes and through your chair.
Lord.
I mean, and you can imagine that's very anxiety provoking to not know when that's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how long it's going to last. And, you know, and that I think is one of the things that women find most disconcerting. And when they start to have these menstrual changes, a lot of times they don't know what to do. They think something's terribly wrong. If you have a gynecologist, you see your gynecologist at that point. But a lot of women just sort of suffer through this thinking that this is normal. But there are solutions, and you don't have to live that way, and particularly not for years.
I need to get to these phone calls. I have a lot
okay.
of questions, but okay. our listeners obviously do as well. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to get a new phone after this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about menopause. Let's go to Kimberly. Kimberly calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kimberly. What's on your mind?
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
That's wonderful. And what she's saying, I've been going, perimenopause started about, I want to say 43, I'm 54 come November, and I'm still going through the menopausal thing. I mean, it's been rough. Like she said, there's been streaks where I've had my period for a month and a half at one time. I thought I was dying.
Mm.
Always hot, just bursting out in sweat. I'm sure my disposition is changing. Loss of hair, dry skin. What else? Lethargic all the time. Like some days I feel like I can't get off the pillow. And also I tend to have body aches. I don't know. I'm just like, I went to the doctor. I thought I had fibromyalgia or something. Because I was just like, I cannot, this can, what is this? There's so many changes my body is going through. It's unbelievable.
Mm. Exactly. And here's something you don't really think about, because we sort of think of estrogen as being just sort of a reproductive hormone. And it's not. I mean, for women, we have estrogen receptors in just about every organ system in our body. We have it in our brains, which is why we have the mood disturbances and the temperature, the difficulty with regulating our body temperature, because that's registered in your brain, in your skin, in your hair, in your nails. It is not just a reproductive event when you're talking about menopause. And I think that a lot of women just think, oh, okay, then I stop and then I get through it and I move on. But there are even longer term implications of being menopausal. Like, hey, here's a big one. Women don't think about this, but your risk for cardiovascular disease goes up after menopause. Before women are menopausal, women have far less heart disease and heart attacks and strokes and cardiovascular events than men do. But once you get to menopause, then you are at risk not only for cardiovascular disease, for weight gain, but weight gain more in the middle, which is a very bad place to gain weight. But you start to see that after you've had that last period when the estrogen levels are very low. And you're also at risk for osteoporosis. So there are, you know, there are these phases that we can't ever think that, okay, I'm done. No, there are effects of menopause that will continue to plague you. And even, and I think here's another one that women complain about a lot, and that is sexual dysfunction, vaginal dryness, painful intercourse, and frequent urinary tract infections. These are all things that I think when you have one from column A and one from column B, you may not put it all together under that rubric of menopause. But this is what it is. And I think that if women understood that, if they were prepared for the changes that they were going to be going through, they would be better able to access information about what to do about it. Because that's one of the things, you know, I have been doing this. I've been a gynecologist for over 30 years, and I've spent the last half of my year of my years doing really a lot of menopausal care and care for women over 40. And I have to tell you, we're a neglected bunch because, you know, when you think about going to the gynecologist or to an OBGYN, you're going, you're thinking about having babies, trying to get pregnant, trying not to get pregnant. But once you get to that point, you sort of fall off the edge, and women don't know what to do and how to access it. And that's sort of when I made the pivot from clinical practice to Alloy, which is a women's telehealth company. We are trying to do just that, educate women about what the signs and symptoms of menopause are, and also give them access to hormone therapy when it is appropriate for them. Mm-hmm. Because for a lot of the symptoms that women are having, both in the perimenopausal phase and in the postmenopausal years, it is due to that lack of estrogen or the fluctuation in those estrogen levels. And they are very amenable to being treated with hormones for women who don't have reasons why they should not take hormones.
Kimberly, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about menopause tonight. Let's go to Sean calling from Bowie. Sean, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
I'm calling. When I turn 49, I have this, when I urinate or when I eat certain things, I have this burning that I cannot stop it. And I went to several doctors, and some doctors say it's acid. So what if I eat acid? It just burns. Sometimes it just burns for no reason, And I can't do nothing but lay down and take aspirin and try to go to sleep because it's very uncomfortable.
Oh, well, see, there is, all right, here is another little tidbit about menopause and perimenopause. There is a condition, and it is called the genital urinary syndrome of menopause. That's a lot of words, but if you just think of GSM, it is, again, the lack of estrogen in the genital area, because it is not just the vagina, but it is the vulva, it is the urethra, it is the bladder. All of that tissue is estrogen sensitive. So women will complain sometimes of burning, itching, dryness, all of that in that area, and that does not even require full dose hormone replacement therapy. You can use topical estrogen because all that tissue is very estrogen sensitive as well. So, you know, women sometimes think, oh, I have a urinary tract infection. And I assure you, it's about nothing acidic that you're eating. It is just that the tissue itself is very sensitive. It's very thin. And sort of rejuvenating that tissue with just some, when I say topical estrogen, cream. You can use creams, suppositories, tablets, but you're putting the estrogen directly on the tissue where it needs it the most. Mm.
Sean, thank you so much for your phone call. We have a lot of calls on the line, and I know we're going to get even more. The last time we had this discussion a year or so ago, our phone lines were flooded. I encourage you to continue to call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to take a break, but please keep trying to get through. We're going to continue to take phone calls all the way up until almost 8 o'clock. And don't forget, if you want to hear the program, you can download the Quiet Storm app and you can hear the program in its entirety without interruption. Wow. This is a really, really important conversation. My heart really goes out to the women who are going through this process. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. That's the app. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back with more of this discussion in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about menopause during our Medical Monday conversation and what women can do to ease this natural process. My guest is Dr. Sharon Malone. She is an OBGYN and medical director for Alloy Women's Health. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before I go back to the phone lines, I still have some really important questions that I want to get out of the way, Dr. Malone. So please, if you're on the line, just hang in there. I am going to get to you, I promise. Are there some women or circumstances under which a woman would not experience menopause, such as a hysterectomy or any other kind of condition?
Right. Well, let me say this. Every woman experiences menopause. That part of it is not optional. Now, some of us experience it different ways. Some of us experience menopause, which means your ovaries no longer produce estrogen. You can go through menopause because you've had chemotherapy. For people who've had breast cancer or anything that requires, you know, heavy-dose chemotherapy will sometimes stop the ovaries from functioning. So that's one way to do it. Surgically, sometimes women will have their ovaries removed with or without a hysterectomy at that time. That's one way to do it. Women go through it prematurely, and I say prematurely, anytime you have your period stop before the age of 40, that is considered premature menopause. And then there's the natural process by which most women go through menopause. But this is something I want you to sort of keep in mind. The presence or absence of a period, even though we use that as the marker, well, suppose you have a hysterectomy. If you've had a hysterectomy at 42, for whatever reason you've had a hysterectomy for, as long as your ovaries are there, then you will continue to make estrogen and may not get the symptoms of menopause until your ovaries stop functioning. So it's not just the period, you know, because if you had a hysterectomy, you won't have a period. And if I said the definition is when you stop having your periods, well, you're still not menopausal until that process has played itself out and your ovaries stop making estrogen. And the one thing that's particularly salient, I think, for African-American women is that we have a higher incidence of having had hysterectomies, usually for reasons of fibroids or irregular bleeding or something that will make, you know, a hysterectomy, if not desired, it may be necessary. And once you've had the hysterectomy, when you don't have the periods to sort of use as the guide for where you are menopausally, then it becomes very confusing because you have the symptoms, but you don't necessarily associate it with menopause. You see what I mean? They don't, you know, assuming that we are using the period as a marker assumes you have a uterus. But if you have your ovaries out, if you're 35, you will be menopause. You will be menopausal immediately because it has more to do with the lack of estrogen. And all the symptoms and everything that someone might have at 50, you would have them much earlier because you no longer have the ability to produce estrogen.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chelsea calling from Rockville. Thanks for calling, Chelsea. What's on your mind?
Hey, yes. First of all, I just want to say real quick, Doctor, thank you so much. I'm so blessed and thankful to have caught your show, which I love your show all the time, but to catch it at this time. And so my question is this, with menopause, it is a symptom of that low libido? Because my boyfriend is having little issues and he's asking me, and it's just like with sex, I used to be super sexual like we all were in our 20s. But now I'm in my 40s, pushing 50, and it's like I don't even want it. And so I'm looking at me like something is wrong with me because that's not me. But and it's not like I don't find him sexually attractive. Of course I do. But it's just I'm not in the mood. So is that one thing that comes with menopause also?
It is a very common symptom of menopause.
Wow.
And that happens regardless. Now, imagine sometimes it's just the loss of the sex drive because your ovaries make several hormones. It's not just estrogen. They make estrogen. They make testosterone, which is you know, normally associated with males, but women make testosterone as well. And that little kick helps with libido. And it also makes another hormone called progesterone. But any combination of those, you know, when needless to say, when the ovaries stop functioning, they stop making everything.
Yes.
And so that lack of testosterone may manifest itself in a lack of libido. Now, imagine if you have that, plus the lack of estrogen leads to vaginal dryness and painful intercourse. If you are not sleeping, you know, if you are having hot flashes, if you are, your sleep is disturbed and you're in a bad mood, all of those things play into libido.
Yes.
It's not just one thing. So, you know, we all know that, you know, for women, it's a little bit more complicated than just, you know, yes or no. All of these things play into it. And all of these factors sort of come together during menopause, which is why it's important that the things that we can treat, like vaginal dryness, painful intercourse, getting a good night's sleep, you know, addressing the mood, all of those things, when you address those, and typically for women, hormone therapy may be appropriate for healthy women, then the libido can be worked on its own, you know, and I would be totally disingenuous if I said, you know, here's some magic and it's going to make it all come back.
Wow,
you can make it better. You can make it better. You know.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
thank
Chelsea,
you, thank you.
Hang in there. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about menopause tonight. Real quick, this is perhaps as an aside. Is male menopause a thing?
Well, yeah, it's called andropause, yes. And there is, but for men, it doesn't happen as abruptly as it does for women. You know, because men's testosterone level tends to diminish over time as well, but it's not that precipitous fall off a cliff moment that men have, that women have, that men have. So, yeah, it's sort of a gradual decline. That's why you start to see not only things with decrease in libido, but also performance issues as well for men as they age. A lot of it just has to do with, you know, again, aging. And if you see sort of what happens to men as they start to age too, they do the same thing where they start to put on weight mostly in the middle. And that is the worst possible place to gain weight. And, you know, I mean, yeah, in an ideal world, let's not gain any weight. But if you must gain weight, you know, what we don't get to choose is where it goes. And for women who are more pears than apples, where the weight goes into your thighs or your hips, that is not nearly as toxic as weight that goes to your midsection. Because that weight that goes to your midsection not only goes to your belly, but it's also around your internal organs. It's around your heart. It puts you, it actually increases inflammatory responses, which also increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. That weight in the middle increases your risk for type 2 diabetes, which is also a risk factor for heart disease. So, you know, I say that to say, yes, we do have some things. Some of it is aging, because the weight gain that we experience as we get older is more metabolic. You know, it's just the aging, and you don't, and the more weight you gain, the less you do, the less active you are, which again compounds that problem. But if you, there really, really, really is a hormonal component both for men and for women as we get into that sort of, you know, 50, 60 age range. And that is why it's so vitally important that whatever we do, you know, that exercise is important, watching your diet, you know, because again, genetics will dictate where the weight goes. The only part we have control over is how much of it we put there.
Let me go to Clemmy calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Clemmy, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Thank you very much for discussing this topic. Thank you for coming on. I am 54, and I started perimenopause at 43, and I also have fibroids. Mm-hmm. Is there any information you can share? It's been really up and down.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Because remember when I was talking about how one of the first signs of being perimenopausal or going through that transition is that sort of irregular periods, you know, where...
Yeah.
And now imagine that can happen when you have a completely normal uterus, no fibroids, no nothing. And you can have that kind of disastrous sort of bleeding and annoying bleeding. And it's worse when you have fibroids, because it's almost, I'd say it's not even an additive effect. Sometimes it's a multiplier, because those fibroids, depending upon where they are, the closer they are to the lining of your uterus, because, you know, you can have fibroids that are really big, but if they're on the outside of your uterus, they tend to cause less bleeding problems than the ones that are closer to the lining. And those are the ones, my goodness, that can be disastrous. And so I say that to say fibroids are so common. When I say probably 30 to 40% of women have fibroids of some size or fashion or the other, the only thing that I would say about that is that sometimes with hormones, you can control the bleeding even with hormones and fibroids. We have other options. Sometimes one of the things that we use for women who are perimenopausal is we use low-dose birth control pills. That's a very sort of easy fix for sort of getting that bleeding under control. But there are also other non-invasive methods that we can use that will control the bleeding with the fibroids using an IUD. The progestin-releasing IUD for women who have bleeding problems sometimes during that perimenopausal window helps as well. So, you know, but usually when it's a hormonal problem, you know, if, unless you've had problems or issues with birth control pills in the past, a birth control pill, a low-dose birth control pill, is a good stopgap, you know, until we can get you to the point where your periods have stopped altogether. And once you get to menopause, and here's the good news about it, is that your fibroids tend to stabilize. You know, they don't get bigger. They will gradually get smaller. And even if you opt to use hormone therapy after menopause, the amount of hormone that's in hormone therapy after you are already menopausal is so low that it usually does not stimulate fibroids and cause any more bleeding after menopause.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I've been thinking about having surgery. I really don't want to. I would rather they shrink. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything about vitamin D and its ability to shrink fibroids?
It doesn't. You know, I have to tell you, there are a few things that do help. And here's the good news, and I think that there's been a lot of advancements in the past 20 or 30 years in terms of how we treat fibroids. As I said, a hysterectomy should be the last option of all the things that you can try. You know, usually we try with, again, a low-dose birth control pill, see if that works. If that doesn't work, then we try an IUD, a progestin-releasing IUD, like a Mirena. We try that. There are endometrial ablations, which they actually
now explain. Now, what is
lining.
Hold on. For those of us who didn't finish med school,
I'll explain to you that an endometrial ablation is where we can actually go in. Imagine like you were going to do a DNC, so it's not a major surgical procedure.
A DNC,
a DNC. That's like where you scrape the lining of the uterus for sometimes when women are bleeding.
Okay.
But this procedure, what it does is actually can go in and it will use sometimes an electrical current. It will actually destroy the lining of the uterus, and that's the part of the uterus that bleeds. So you can do that. You can remove the fibroids from the inside out, which, you know, not getting too technical. But there are about 4 or 5 steps that you would go through before you got to a major surgical procedure like a myomectomy or a hysterectomy. Those are always there, but they should be your last option, not your first option.
Okay, Clemmie, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about menopause and its symptoms, how it can be treated, and some of the other issues surrounding it. I do want to go back to men for a moment. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend that, you know, husbands, boyfriends, partners be supportive of this? You know, obviously, this may be a mystery for women, so certainly it is, a mystery wrapped in an enigma for men.
This is true. And I think that this is an opportunity for men to get educated about menopause. You know, you think about how much we've changed in, you know, a generation, whereas, you know, our parents' generation, a man wouldn't have thought about going into a delivery room or going to, you know, prenatal classes with their, you know, with their partner to be a part of this process, to understand what she's going through. Well, you know what? The menopause is equally important in terms of a life phase and a life change and all the things that she's going through. You need to understand why you came in and you put the, you know, a cup in the sink and she, you know, took your head off, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean that's, you know, that you did something so egregiously wrong. It's just that when we are in that phase and your hormones are up or down, and think of it, it's like puberty in reverse. And everybody knows how emotionally volatile teenagers are. Why are you crying? Why are you yelling? Why, you know, that sort of thing. It is the same thing, but it is going in the opposite direction. So when we seem, you know, and again, and it is real, honest to God, you know, it can be anxiety issues. I mean, imagine what it's like if you have not had a good night's sleep in months to years. That does not put you in a good mood the next day.
Mm.
And this is this is what I want women to understand, is that we can talk about a lot about what it is that you're going through, but what I really want women to understand is that even though menopause is not an optional activity, we will go through menopause, but the suffering and the being bothered about it and not feeling our best selves is that's unacceptable to me. I mean, you know, and I think that women should know how and when to access help, because I think that we sort of, you know, get these brownie points of thinking we're just going to suffer through because my mother suffered through and my grandmother suffered through. And the reality is that we don't have to suffer. And that's what I want particularly women of color to understand, is that there are solutions. And unfortunately, the data says that for women, and just as I told you in the beginning, for Black women, we have symptoms earlier, longer, more severe, but we are least likely to get a prescription for hormone replacement therapy, which will relieve the symptoms, which in the majority of women. But not only that, is that we don't even really get a conversation about what's going on. And I think that we have got to start really asking and really demanding answers. And if you're not getting answers, and I understand that there are not a lot of doctors out there who have an interest in menopause, but that's when we go to, you know, that is why I do what I do with my Alloy, because this is a way for women to go to an online site, get educated about menopause, and go, oh, well, look at that. That's not just me. There's a community of women who, you, once you understand, and sometimes even just knowing that you're not dying or something's egregiously wrong is helpful to know. But for women who want help, there is help, and you can get through it through myalloy.com.
As we've heard, not only on this program, but just, you know, anecdotally, and I remember, you know, my stepmother going through it when I was in my 20s, where all of a sudden she would just jump up, and at the time she and my father were living in a house that had window air conditioning units, and she would jump up and go to the air conditioner, turn it on full blast, and, you know, pull her blouse, you know, open to her cleavage, and she would, I mean, it was amazing to see just how she would just break out in, you know, in, from perspiration to sweat. What is a hot flash, and specifically, what causes that? Because it seems to me that that is the most frequent unpleasant symptom. I mean, everyone has various and sundry. You may have aches, you may have headaches and mood swings, but it seems to me almost every woman will complain about these intolerable hot flashes.
And they're miserable. I mean, because imagine, normally when you're hot, if you're outside and it's hot, you're hot from the out, you know, you're hot from the outside in, and then you know, it's hot, you sweat, and that's a hot flash can occur anytime. It could be 50 degrees in your bedroom and you can have a hot flash. And a hot flash is sort of a miscommunication between your the receptors in your skin and the receptors in your brain. Normally, when your brain gets the signal, oh, it's hot outside, and it will initiate the cooling process where you sweat, you dilate blood vessels, you know, and everything to dissipate that heat. Well, when you're in menopause or you're in the menopausal transition, and I told you that that fluctuation in your estrogen levels or lack of estrogen throws your thermostat completely out of whack. So you are not getting the signal to cool off when you're hot. It's just happening for no apparent reason. And for women who are most bothered by them, they can have several of these hot flashes an hour. And imagine this goes on for days, weeks, months, years. And it is extremely disruptive. And I mean, again, you're sitting there, and things that tend to make hot flashes worse are things that are stressful. So you're in a big meeting, you have a glass of wine, you're anxious about something, and any of these things can can sort of trigger a hot flash to the point, and at nighttime, they're night sweats, to the point where you can just be completely drenched and have to get up and change your clothes. Mm-hmm. That's really what the physical manifestation is, but it really originates in your brain and that your brain's lack of sensitivity to that estrogen. You know, it sort of realizes, oh, okay, estrogen's out of whack, and it just does whatever. Imagine you're in your house and your thermostat's broken and it's, you know, 90 degrees outside and the heat comes on. That's sort of what a hot flash feels like.
Wow. What other kinds of treatment do you recommend for, you know, for women who are really having a tough time? You mentioned, for example, you know, hormone replacement.
Yes.
You mentioned IUDs and the like. What other kinds of things? Because, you know, my heart really goes out to, you know, to women who are going through this. And even, as I said, looking at my phone and having, you know, six of my really good sister friends just really just go in, and they're trying to, you know, to be, you know, humorous, but if you read between the lines, you know, I almost want to reach out and just hug them, but it may be too warm for them to give them a hug, you know. So, you know, what other treatments are there?
Well, let me say this, because I think there are some things that everybody should do. So regardless, you know, exercise, you know, regular exercise helps. And when I'm talking regular exercise, I'm talking anywhere, you know, 30 minutes, 5 days a week. So, you know, 150 minutes of a regular exercise helps. Eating a heart-healthy diet, you know, which is a Mediterranean-type diet, you know, you can have fats, but have good fats, not bad fats in your diet. You know, maintain your blood pressure. You know, watch your blood sugar, watch your weight, don't smoke. All of those things are important, because whatever your kind of menopause you're going to have, they're going to be made worse if you don't tend to those things. So that's at a minimum. And then for women who've done all those things and they're still bothered, really, I mean, for, you know, every governing body in medicine has really come to the conclusion that for the treatment of symptomatic hot flashes or vasomotor symptoms, estrogen therapy is the most effective treatment for them.
How is it applied? I mean, I know you mentioned topical.
Yes.
But and that's kind of self-explanatory. But please go ahead.
If you're taking what we say treat the symptoms that such as hot flashes and the mood swings and sleeplessness, just using a topical vaginal cream is not going to do it.
Right.
You need something that raises your blood levels, and that would be, you can take estrogen as a pill, you can take estrogen as a patch or as a gel or as a cream. It can be applied through the skin or taken orally as a pill. And if you are one of those people that you still have a uterus, then you take estrogen and you also take progesterone, which is its only purpose is just to protect the lining of your uterus. So that's sort of what estrogen therapy, or when someone says hormone replacement, that's what we're talking about, to treat those systemic systems, the mood swings, all of that. Now, if you say, I cannot take estrogen, I've had breast cancer, or I've had a blood clot, or some reasons why that is not on the table for you, then some low-dose antidepressants help with hot flashes. Now, they're not as effective as estrogen, but it's the next best thing that we have for women who are otherwise bothered with hot flashes.
Are there side effects from the treatment, whether it's, you know, topical or the pill or what have you?
Very few. And the reason why I say very few is because for most, particularly for women who have taken birth control pills in the past, you have, when you think about it, we think of estrogen as in menopausal years as being something fundamentally different It's really not. It's the same two components. It's estrogen and it's progesterone. And it's, if you've taken birth control pills in the past, it's estrogen and it's progestin, which is a different one, but it's the same concept. But the amount of estrogen that's in what you take after menopause is far less than what you've ever taken in a birth control pill. So a standard dose birth control pill might have 20 or 30 micrograms of estrogen in it. The amount of estrogen that's in postmenopausal hormone therapy is about a third to a quarter that dose. So for even for women who've sometimes had difficulty tolerating the estrogen in birth control pills, just remember the amount in estrogen is in menopause is far, far less than what you have ever taken before. And it is far less than what you've experienced certainly during a pregnancy or even during a normal menstrual cycle.
Dr. Malone, you mentioned myalloy.com. Are there any other resources that you would like to share? I have about 30 seconds left.
Sure. You know, I think that we have a lot of information at myalloy.com. Another good place to go to is the North American Menopause Society, which is NAMS.org, or just if you just Google North American Menopause Society. It has a lot of good just background information about menopause treatments, symptoms, that kind of thing. And then Alloy, we sort of do all of it. We educate, you know, and then give you access to menopause-trained doctors who can also prescribe for you, and you get your medication mailed directly to your door.
Dr. Sharon Malone, thank you so very much for sharing with us tonight and helping our listeners get through. My goodness, helping me get through it. Man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, July 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.